Hello. You guys are stuck with me today. Dun, dun, dun. but let me pray first, and then we'll get into this. Dear God, just thank you for bringing us all here today through the weather and the snow and the cold. And I just pray that you use the words that come out of my mouth to speak to us, and even if it's just one thing, bless this time together. Amen. If you're new here or newish here, my name is Becky. Pastor Eric asked me to speak this week because, well, he went to a basketball game last night. Duke did win, so I don't know if he's a Duke fan. So I'm not sure if you can taunt him or not about that, or I'm not sure. But anyway, he asked me to speak because I'm someone who's felt like a really strong sense of calling in my life. I am a teacher, and my teaching has taken me to Christian schools overseas. So I taught in Tajikistan, and I taught in Singapore, and then in July I'm going to move to Malaysia and teach there. So I have definitely felt God call me in a very real way. But when we're talking about this word calling, it really applies to anyone who has said yes to be a follower of Jesus. So if you look at the question up here, it says, am I called? If you're a follower of Jesus, the answer is yes, you are called. I think we're done here. Are we going to sing a song? Thank you. You guys laughed a lot more than the first service did at that. I know it wasn't that funny. But yes, you're called. And our calling kind of comes in two layers. One is your primary calling, and one is your secondary calling. And your primary calling is just that. It's your first calling. If you've made a decision to be a follower of Jesus, you've been primarily called. And we see this all throughout the Bible. We see God calling people to follow him, especially in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. So he calls us to a holy life. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So we have everything we need for life and godliness. This is a general call. It's not necessarily, it's specific to a particular person. It's a call we all receive. Jesus tells his followers while he is with them, and then to us as an extension, to love God, to love your neighbor, and to go and make disciples. It's that easy, guys. In Colossians, it also says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this is in all aspects of our life that we follow Jesus. Now, this primary calling is more of a calling to a person. You're being called to the person of Jesus and to live in imitation of him. Mostly what I'm going to talk about today is the secondary calling, because that's the tricky one. At least I think it's tricky. Your secondary calling is more of a call to a specific task. When I was doing some research, because I thought, oh, maybe I should see what other people think about this and not just talk about what I think. When I was doing some research, some people use the word vocation. Your secondary calling is your vocation. And I'm really hesitant to use that because it makes us think that our paid employment is our calling from God. And I think most of us in this room, we wouldn't consider the job that we do a job that God specifically said, you need to go do that. Most of us did pick our job because maybe it pays well, or it has good benefits, or it's something we're really interested in, it's where our passion is, but that's not necessarily your call from God. God works through that, but it's not necessarily your call. A call is more of a task. So this is a specialized, customized committed call to service. And so this can be in your church. It can be to a certain group of people that you feel called to serve, or maybe a single person. It could be in your family life. It could be to a ministry or some kind of nonprofit. It could really be anywhere. I think back on some people in the Bible like Nehemiah, Esther, and Abraham. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the Persian king. Esther was a queen. Abraham was a nomadic herdsman. All of them had their own kind of jobs, their ways of making money, but God called them to something that was within that spectrum, God used their jobs to call them to something to his glory. So when we talk about finding your secondary call, I think sometimes this is difficult to see because there's just so much noise in our lives. We have our own motives. We have people around us telling us what they think we should do. We have societal expectations. And what I want to do today is maybe give some clarification on how you might be able to see whether the voice you're hearing is the voice of God or is noise. So the best way that I found to do this is to tell you what calling is and what calling is not. So here we go. Calling is to anywhere. So this can be in your workplace, to a calling maybe to your coworkers. It could be through the work that you do. It could be among your friends, among your family, in your church, or really any combination of these places where God asks you to be intentional and committed with your knowledge of him. So that being said, calling is not only to hot climates. So though all of us, 95% of us in this room, I think, would be happy to be called to a hot climate today. I mean, the snow is pretty, but come on. I think our calling here in Central Pennsylvania can make God just as famous as if you are called to the Dominican Republic. I think we get a sense that there's that people who are called to overseas missions or called to faraway places have some kind of exaggerated sense of calling. And I'm going to let you in on a dirty little secret here. When you're called somewhere far away, God works on your heart to where you want to go somewhere far away. So all of you in here who think there is no way on God's green earth that I could ever transplant myself to Nigeria, congratulations. God is not currently calling you to go to Nigeria. You're good. He does work on your heart when he asks you to do some of these things that to us look extreme. They're not quite as extreme when you're in it because he's working on you. So those of us who go far away, please don't give us too much credit. It's easier than it looks. So what something else your calling is it is flexible and evolving. It doesn't stay the same. If you think about who you were 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you probably note that you're different. And your life situation is different. And so what you're called to as a 25-year-old is not going to be what you're called to as a 45-year-old. I look at the Bible and Joshua. Joshua is Moses' right-hand man, and he gets called to lead Israel when he is elderly. Joshua would have qualified for Social Security by the time he was called, but God still called him and gave him this call. So those of you who are sitting here in your golden years, God's still calling you. You don't get a cop out here. I'm not looking at you, Jim. For me, when I decided to become a teacher, I wouldn't say that was a calling from God. That was just, I like to teach. I like the idea of a pretty sweet pension. I like the job security, you know, that type of thing. And God has worked through that job and morphed my calling into something where I feel called to mentor students, and I use my teaching job to do that. And on top of that, as we think of your calling as being flexible, often you don't even realize that you're following your call until you're into it already. So I didn't realize that I was mentoring students before I realized, hey, I think God's calling me to mentor students. He works, he's tricky like that. He kind of works on your heart that way. So if calling is flexible, calling is not a formula. So it's certainly not a formula for guaranteed success. Calling is not transactional. This isn't this idea where I say yes to God, God gives me what I want. That's not how it works. If we think about the people in the New Testament, like Paul and the disciples, almost all of them lost their lives following God's call. They were killed for it. So I know that's a little morbid, but often we do not get the thing we think we're going to get from following a call is not what we actually get. And I think we just need to be okay with that. Like, I have been so incredibly blessed by following God's call. I've been really blessed in my relationships, in the sense of purpose I've gotten from my work. However, it's not what I thought I would get when I went into it. We can't really go into the process of accepting a call expecting that God's going to give us anything in particular. We really just have to be happy that we said yes, that he called and we said yes. I think about at my church in Singapore last year, the music minister asked me to lead a drama team. And I do not have skills there. I was not excited about it, but I did feel God saying, hey, I want you to do this. So I did it. Did a couple dramas. After about 6 months, I felt like I could pass it off to the next person. I have no idea what I got out of that experience. Absolutely nothing. Like, I didn't get new friendships. I didn't feel especially affirmed in the work that we did. I just know that God called. I said yes. It's over. I just have to be happy with it. I think that can be difficult because when it comes down to it, your calling is from God and for his glory. That is the root, that is the base of it. And so it is not, our calling is not for our own benefit. So like my guy up there. I was looking at clip art because I didn't want to use like copyrighted pictures, so we got the guy on the stand. But anyway, our calling is not for us. And honestly, sometimes our own motives cloud our sense of calling. We want to be called to things that give us security, power, prestige, that give us a sense of worth, a sense of value, a sense of purpose. But those things are not God's objectives. And there's nothing wrong with hoping that those things happen, but that should not be your primary reason for choosing a call. And sometimes, again, it directs us to things that are not God's call. God will not ask us to do something in disobedience to him. So if you think God's calling you, but it's to something that he has clearly said we shouldn't do, he's not calling you. On the other side of this, sometimes we avoid calling because we're quite selfish. Personally, I am, as an introvert, I am very selfish with my alone time. So if I have to spend an extra 2 hours a week with a bunch of people, it mortifies me. There are things that I haven't done because I'm selfish with my own time. And it's not as God, we have to put some of those things aside when God is calling us. This isn't a bargaining process. Again, this isn't I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to build up blessings credits and then I'm going to spend them all on this thing I want. God doesn't have a bank like that. It'd be pretty sweet, but he doesn't. The ultimate goal is that God is glorified and that people draw closer to him. I don't want to say, though, that when we're called to something, you can't hope for maybe some benefits. I would say just don't necessarily expect them. Like if I'm being really honest right now, when I do have some selfish, or we could call it hopeful motives, whenever God calls me somewhere new, there's this part of my brain, it's called the husband finding cortex. And the husband finding cortex of my brain says, hey, maybe your husband's going to be at this place that you're getting called to. You should go. And there's nothing wrong with that in particular. Now, it does get dicey if you then start going to the school's all staff pages and looking at what the ratio is for men to women. That's not okay. I have done that. I haven't chosen a school based on that, but I have definitely creeped on all staff photos. But calling is for God and His glory. It's not for us. And calling is also a process. Like I said before, there's a lot of noise going on around us. We're not sure if it's God's voice or something else. And unfortunately, God doesn't often verbally tell us what to do. You know, Moses lucked out. He had this big, stinking, burning bush telling him, go lead my people out of slavery. That was really nice, God. Paul would have dreams. Paul had a dream that said, don't go to Asia, do go to Europe. That's cool. That isn't how it works with most of us. It's not quite that mystical. And I think a really good example of this in the Bible is Nehemiah. So Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the Persian king. At this point in history, many of the Jews, Nehemiah is a Jew, many of the Jews have returned to Jerusalem. But Nehemiah is still in Persia for whatever reason. Maybe he had good vacation days at his job. I don't know. Nehemiah sees some visitors from Jerusalem back in Persia, and he's like, hey, how are things going in Jerusalem? And these people tell him the most horrible stories, not how the people are being persecuted and how the city doesn't even have a wall. That's a big no-no in the ancient Near East. Your city needs a wall. And so Nehemiah is distraught, and he's praying, and he's confessing Israel's sin, and he's saying, God, I need the courage, because I'm going to ask the king of Persia to let me go. And so Nehemiah goes up to the king of Persia. The king notices that he's sad and says, hey, Nehemiah, what's up? Nehemiah tells him. The king says, cool, you can go to Jerusalem, build the wall, and also I'll send some supplies along, and I'll give you letters so that people don't hassle you as you travel home. It was that easy. So Nehemiah goes back. He builds the wall. Well, he has help. He doesn't do it by himself. But when I look at Nehemiah, some of these things happen to him. He has, when he's thinking about, is God calling me? He has a need placed on his heart, something that keeps coming to his attention. He has a sense of urgency about it as well, where he feels like he needs to act on it. He also has an opportunity because he works for the king. The king knows him well enough to know his moods. And so when he is able to actually ask for what he wants, where he is called to. Something else to think about when you're considering, am I called to this, is your gifts and skills. God will use your spiritual gifts, whether it's service or hospitality or administration. A lot of times he'll use those things as he's calling you, and then in actually doing that calling, and he'll use your professional skills as well. Now, I don't want you to think, though, that if you don't have the skills that you get to say no to God. It's not that easy, because Ephesians 4 is really tricky, and it says he equips those that he calls. So if you don't have the skills, you can't use that as an excuse. But this is a nice way to, as you're thinking about, is this God's voice? This is a nice way to, you know, see if things like this line up. Another way, something that I found insanely helpful as I've tried to decide what God's call is the affirmation of other people. And so, because guys, our brains are weird. Human brains are kind of messed up. And so there's a couple things going on. Psychologists have discovered something called illusory superiority. This is the fact that many of us overestimate our abilities. So a really good example of this is that 93% of Americans think they are in the top 50% of drivers. I'll let you think about that. So that means about 43 out of 100 Americans think they are much better drivers than they actually are. And the funny thing here, the irony here, is that the worse you are at something, the better you think you are at it. Because you have the other side of the coin here is something called imposter syndrome. And this is the idea where people who are actually really good at things underestimate their abilities the most. So, in summary, if you're really good at something, you probably don't think, you underestimate your abilities. If you're really bad at something, you overestimate your abilities. And that gets me back to talk to other people, because they're going to be able to affirm your gifts. And I'm talking about people who are going to be honest with you. They will affirm your gifts. They might tell you, hey, I'm not quite sure if this is a good area for you. You need those people to do that for you. And that helps you decide whether you're called or not. And last but not least, this is the application part of the sermon. God speaks, but often not audibly. And so I like to give God alleyways through which to speak to me. And that means getting into his word. Read your Bible. Reading God's word, doing devotions, going to Sunday school, Bible study, listening to sermons, listening to music, spending time in prayer and meditation, just sitting silently with God. I know some of you are in settings where you don't get five silent minutes together. That's okay. But all of these things, God will use them to speak to you. And what I find really cool, and I get a really great sense of certainty about my calling, is when a whole bunch of different things say the same thing to me. When I'm reading a book of the Bible and it pops out something that God, I felt kind of a tug on my heart for, and then the next sermon I listen to also affirms that. And then I go to Bible study and there's something else that pops up there. Those provide a sense of certainty that God is in fact calling you, because he uses those things to communicate with us. Calling is not now or never. God will continue to call you, even if you say, no, wait till I pay off the house. No, wait till my kids are in college. No, wait till I get a pay raise. Things like that, God will still call you. Takes a little bit of the pressure off. I think of the people of Israel, God keeps calling them to follow him, calling them to obey him. And they keep saying, no, that's okay. And he keeps calling. They come back, then they stray, and they come back. He even punishes them, but he still calls them. In the Old Testament, we have a guy named Samson. Samson, of course, is this famous strong man. He's a judge of Israel. He defends Israel from the Philistines. But Samson, though he is clearly called by God to do that job, he has an issue. He loves Philistine women. They're his type. And so he's always chasing after them and wasting opportunities that God gives him because he has a little weakness there. Samson, even in the end, as he's in chains, he's imprisoned, he's lost all the strength because he can't control himself, even at the very end of his life, and he's chained between two columns, he still exacts one last victory for Israel. God continues to call him, even though he's gone astray. If you keep saying, not yet, I'm not ready, I'm not sure if God's calling me, there is one little caveat. He will continue to call, but you will miss some opportunities. So I don't want it to seem like it's all hunky-dory, but at the same time, he's still there. He's still faithful. He's still going to call you. As we think about this Calling Sunday, our process here at Buffalo Valley tries to pull from some of these things. So we have other people point out gifts and skills among each other. We have other people. Some of you in this room will be given an opportunity to serve, but you know, the vast majority of us will not receive an opportunity from this calling process that we're going through. But what I want to leave you with is this question. I want to encourage you to regularly look and regularly ask, in what way does God call me to be intentional in my service to him? In what way is he calling me? And you might not know what that is yet. You might not feel that tug yet. But you should be looking for it. Because I really love talking about calling, because calling is a manifestation of God's love and mercy. It's a way that God loves us and shows his mercy on it. It's not just about me doing something for God. It's about God loving me and giving me an opportunity to serve. So in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And then in verse 16, it says, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. He renews us through his call. He also uses it, a call can be used as an opportunity to learn more about the God we are glorifying. So you can get to a point where if you receive a call, all you care about is that God is glorified. Or most days. None of us are perfect. By just answering God's call, we are proving his power and his in our lives. We are becoming the living testimonies. No longer do you have to look to, oh yeah, Paul, he did really great things. David, he did really great things. Or I know my neighbor is really a strong testimony to God's power. We become the testimony to God's power in our lives. We are a testimony of how he can make the weak strong and the humble noble. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 1:31, we can, from our personal experience, then we can boast in the Lord from our own experience. Through calling, our faith is no longer this hypothetical or head knowledge. Our faith becomes real and it becomes manifest through our lives, through our own lives. And I think that's just a really fantastic thing. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for the calling that you give us, this calling to follow you and in word and deed throughout our whole lives, show others that we know you and love others. And I also thank you so much for these other calls you place on us, calls to tasks, calls to people. And I love so much how you show your love and your mercy to us through that process. And I just pray for everyone here that we are all able to see where you are leading us this week and this month and this year. Amen.